Chat of the Wild is a part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. To find out more information, as well as other great shows, go to greenlitpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass, the Phantom Hourglass or Phantom Hourglass. I always get mixed up on those articles, like where they put them in the titles and stuff like that, like A or the or whatever, because it's not necessarily consistent. Like, you know, anyway.
Yeah. It feels like this is something that should be the Phantom Hourglass, but we already have The Legend of Zelda, and like, they're like, I don't know if we can double up the thes.
Legend of Zelda, A Phantom Hourglass?
Yeah, does anybody have the box of the cartridge in front of them somewhere that we can double check this?
Yeah, 1 second.
Okay. This is important.
Gotta go back to the tapes.
I know what it is. It's Phantom Hourglass, but that's why I was saying, I mean, yeah, right here.
It is Phantom Hourglass.
It is, yeah. That's why I was saying, like, well, no, it's backwards. That's why I was saying it should be the Phantom Hourglass, but we already have the Legend of Zelda, so.
It doesn't stop some writers. Anyway, in the last episode, we collected 2 medals. In this episode, we're collecting the 3rd medal.
Did we just say Bill did something good?
Sure.
That doesn't stop some writers. Bill did something good for once.
Bill's great. We love Bill here.
But we only bring it up when he fails.
But yes. But in general, we love him.
Yes.
If it wasn't for him, we would have to learn another language. So we have our 2nd medal, and as Brian said in the last episode, you talk to those creatures and they're just like, cool, bye.
Why are you still here?
We get stopped by a guy that basically says, just cleaning up some quote unquote loose ends, where he's like, I was the guy that was kidnapped and was replaced by the creature that you found. And when you did everything you did, it opened the jail cell that I was in, and freed me. There you go.
That's
you can leave the island now.
That's it.
Don't ask any more questions.
Yeah. Nothing doesn't bring up, you know, any policy that is going to be enacted because of this or any. No, just get out of here.
There's one guy on the island who's like, maybe the Ukes have it bad too. Like, maybe they have some shred of, you know, worth or, you know, internal value, intrinsic value, but just maybe.
We can go look around this island. If you talk to one of them there with using the claw shot going up to him, he mentions that every single one of them keep treasure buried in front of the sign in front of their house. I was able to sweep up like 700 rupees.
Okay.
By going around and digging up a bunch of holes. I don't necessarily need those rupees, especially after this episode. I'm just like, where's the end?
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily looking for things to spend money on at this point. But you could do that.
I cleaned out the special beetle ship,
which I have not found him yet.
Which brought me down to like 1500.
Did you get a heart, I assume?
Yes, a heart. I bought the ship part because it was like 600. There was another power wisdom gem, one of them. I don't remember which one. I think it was the courage gem, actually. So there, I named all 3. But yeah, I also forgot about the hole guys and ended up selling a couple of those rings much cheaper than I could have got. You know, I could have gotten a lot more for them.
So what we really need to do is we need to get another map. And where do we get our maps? In a lot of places, but specifically if we need the sea chart maps, we need to go to the Temple of the Ocean King, and we got to go deeper. And so now we have some more abilities, and there's a couple things that give us access to shortcuts, which is nice. but it still requires us to like really explore those floors, because when we were there last time, we may have left notes that didn't apply to the item that we had because we didn't fully realize what abilities we were going to have at this point.
Yeah, like I know the grapple hook points just from remembering the game, but the bomb chew points I wasn't paying attention to at all. The little holes in the ground.
Yeah,
so I did not consider that.
I remember those just because I remember thinking when I saw them that we were going to shrink down and go through those as opposed to having bomb chews.
Just like Breath of the Wild 2.
Yes, please. There is a shortcut that requires you to tether two torches to make a spring to launch you up, and it lets you go past collecting a key and doing all this stuff. So
I missed that.
Yeah, so my saved time that I had originally that I mentioned before, where you can save time to a certain point, it's very, in the grand scheme, it's not that far in, but it lets you do it, so why not? I was at like 2 minutes 40 is the amount that I spend on that. I got that down to like 1 minute 20. So I was like, okay, cool, it paid off, I guess. So now when I
got
to go back here again, I got some more gems that I don't care about. Yeah. I'm not going to collect all 20 of any of them.
And they are going to give us a lot this episode.
If you look for... Well, sure.
I didn't replay the early floors, so...
I did. And yeah, I got a few gems.
It said you used 5.5 minutes to get to this point, and I was like, I got another... That puts me at like 15 and change. I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, but my original time was 5 minutes and change, and then I went back and got it down to 1:07, I think.
Yes, nice.
The thing that was annoying, though, is because there's one key I forgot to pick up. Like, there's a point where you can be up a key going into, like, after the checkpoint, and so by forgetting that key, everything after the checkpoint is just that much more difficult, which is kind of stressful.
Yeah, okay.
We do have to get to a point where we have to do the 3-gem puzzle again.
But we only have to do like half of it, or like
no, some you
of
still have to collect all 3 gems.
Well, yeah, but like some of the stuff is unlocked. Like there's not as much back and forth.
And since we have bomb chews now coming down into here, we can access certain switches that there are like gates that actually have 2 switches to them that we could only reach one up until this point.
Yeah.
But now with the bomb chews, we can hit a different switch that'll open it up earlier. So you can save time by staying in the purple glowing area that freezes time, send a bomb chew to an area to hit a switch.
Yeah.
And that opens up some other gate that would have taken you a whole other minute to do. Now I would argue, I mean, for my play, I spent just as much time in here, even though my time, because I was more efficient in terms of like standing somewhere, I didn't actually eat up my quote unquote time, still took me as much real life time to go through all of this stuff that I was doing before. Like, it didn't really, I had to do the puzzles differently, but they didn't make it like easier necessarily.
I felt like it was easier redoing this floor.
It cuts out like a significant chunk of this floor, or at least it did for me.
I must have got distracted.
It starts you on those moving blocks, and you can really quickly sequence break something with the grappling hook if you grapple to a chest, and that like starts you halfway through the puzzle practically. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is you do have to like kind of rework it, but I couldn't remember which order the gems went in, and that was like that took the most time of, wait, I need to put myself back into this puzzle. How is this going to work in? And also, I didn't know which parts I had sequence broken. So yeah, but I didn't,
well,
I felt like I spent
one,
less time at least.
So originally when we went through that puzzle, you had to go in a certain order of getting the gems. Mm-hmm. In this one, you don't have to do that because we can easily get to other floors without having to go through the loops that we had to before. But then you still got to remember to what order to put them in, if you go into the next room, there's a skeleton that tells you, a skeleton or a stone tablet, I'm not sure which one, it tells you the order you come back out, it takes you to the next area.
But we learned that the last time we were here, And
I didn't remember it. I didn't write it down. I did not do a good job of writing down notes on this stuff at this point. Yeah. And it's just because I'm like, I don't care. And, you know, shame on me. You know, it's my own fault that I didn't have my notes on there properly.
Well, you also didn't need to use the correct order last time just because you...
Yes.
Yeah, you got what you needed. And right. I don't know about you guys, but as soon as I got what I needed, I left this godforsaken dungeon. So
yeah, I said, we learned about it last time, but I was like, should I? No, there's absolutely no reason for me to do this. And just left.
Now that we are at this new area, we're introduced to the gold dark nuts, the even stronger ones now. You can still shoot them in the back, just like the others. But here's what they do. If you get caught, they can teleport to you. And that sucks.
And the sentries are, I know you guys didn't like them before, but they're a lot more annoying.
Well, so I like interacting with them now because of bomb chews.
Yes.
Where I can send a bomb chew at them and blow them up.
Bomb chews are really useful for scouting out the floor. So I probably spent a lot longer on this than I should have, but that's because I was like mapping out a lot of each floor once I got to it to figure out exactly what was going on.
One fun thing we get to do on this first, let's call it the first floor of this new area, you can roll a boulder into those gold dark nuts and kill them, and that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah. I'm glad I accidentally did that on the first one. Because then I would have messed up the second one, or, you know.
Yeah, I wasted a lot of time on this one, though, because I would... So it goes in a pattern where basically you have to snake back and forth in this map in sort of a circular motion. And there's a part where you can dig up and it blows air up and you can go up on another level. And it lets you just reach, as far as I can tell, you can only just reach a gold pot in this part here. But at one point, I did it, and it launched me over the wall, so I had to walk all the way back around again. So that just ate up more time, and that was very annoying.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's also important to note that once you go up to a higher level, the Dark Nuts cannot teleport to you or really do anything.
Or see you, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then, you know, we have a couple more floors. Puzzles, Dark Nuts. We got to hit switches, all that. I don't think there's necessarily anything else to talk about with those ones.
No, one of them is just to, like, get to these four switches. Like, they're up here. Find a way to them. You know, usually by using bombs to time out, you know, or bomb chews to get, like, extra time to, like, make it to an objective or to get closer to something on an upper floor. Because you can send bomb chews to a lower floor. So you can sit up on the top floor. Like BC said, the bad guys can't really see you up there and just kind of snipe bad guys or hit switches or whatever with your bomb chew.
Right.
I've never loved bomb chews so much in a Zelda game.
There's a couple items in here that are like, okay, it makes sense now, you know, to have all this. It still doesn't negate the fact that there were a lot smarter things that they could have done with the overall design of this game to make it easier to get to these items.
Yeah.
But whatever. We've talked plenty about that.
The final Triforce gem room is really, I don't know, boring. It's really open. There's two phantoms walking around. Collect your gems.
Yeah, it's weird that they're walking in a pattern in an open room, you know, that like in three different open rooms, but they only walk around the perimeter of it. It's weird.
And it's like they do the thing with the, what are they, the whiz robes, too? Like every time you pick up one of the gems, a whiz robe appears. It just makes it more annoying. More than anything.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
It is kind of... I do like now where instead of waiting for cycles, I'll just attract them. Be like, hey, I'm over here. Chase me. And then I duck into a hidden spot and then shoot them in the back. And then I move on with my life. So that's a lot better than just being afraid of them.
Get that 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So we get the map.
I mean, just with the phantoms, really. Not even the wizrobes. Like, oh, that's, sure. That's my tactic with the Phantoms now.
So we get the map and we are ready to go to the next area, the final quadrant of the Great Sea or whatever this is. Great Sea was in Wind Waker. This is like maybe the Lesser Sea.
I'm still disappointed in the lack of like fanfare for these last two quadrants, because if you think about the first quadrant we got, there was this whole thing about like there's the fog and the ghost ship and figuring it out, like how are we going to get there, like how are we going to reveal the actual chart and all this stuff, and now it's just like, all right, you got a new thing, go do the thing.
Yep.
Yeah. The beginning of the second act was like, here's half the map, this is crazy, and then for the rest of it just I mean, I was sailing into it going, oh, I'm sure it's going to the kinds of bad guys that are going to spawn in on my ship are going to be just as delightful as the last.
I hate the sharks so much.
Oh my god,
I hate them so much.
The sharks are so dumb.
Now we have to deal with swarms of sharks that will, you can't hit them with their bombs until they jump into the air.
Yeah.
But before they do that, they will come running at you. So you have to hop your ship over them. And I'll be swarmed by like three of them. So fortunately, they get in front of you before they like come at you. At least they haven't been on mine. But it's still just, it's just annoying. It's just so, like, I hate sailing. I hate it so much. Mm-hmm. Remember, Brian, remember in Wind Waker? Remember when I was so happy about
Episode 3?
On that boat?
Yeah.
And just like, I loved it so much. And
it's
even,
just like,
even,
or at the end of episode 2 or something. Yeah. Oh my God.
Even when I was, you know, at some low points in Wind Waker, I was still just like, yeah, but I love boating around.
That was like a steady decline, but the entire time, everyone's just like,
but
delicious
going on your
sailing.
Boat's fun. So, anyways, we get to this new island, this new quadrant. And there are two islands that we can see. I think there's one hidden somewhere, maybe on there, maybe not. I don't remember. But there are two that we can go to. Though the first one has a cyclone in front of it. You can see it on your map. So I just said, obviously, I'm not supposed to go there yet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It was just clear to me.
But I went there anyway, in case, following the recent trend of handheld Zelda gaming up to this point, in case there was some stupid, action
trigger
pixel I had to touch.
Yeah.
Just to make sure.
Fortunately, no. We have to go to the other island, the Isle de la Muerte. The Isle of the Dead. And this is, in my opinion, this is where the dungeon starts. Like,
yes.
I actually like how much this just whole quadrant is the dungeon. You know, I don't care. It doesn't have really cool puzzles in it necessarily. It's kind of doing by the numbers stuff that we've been seeing, but it does start here, and I actually like the way that they kind of spread it out, and we have to interact with different people to like keep us moving on there.
Halfway, or at least what I thought halfway through this whole final section of the episode, I was pining for the temple of the Ocean King. I was getting real tired of all of this by the end of this episode. Yeah.
Brian, you are always going to be alone in this. Whenever you talk about like,
just,
oh man, I wish I was back at the temple for any
like,
reason.
This
like,
is
no,
just,
absolutely
this is
not.
Just sending up my linear flags. Like, I'm just like, is this going to end at some point? Is this ever going to end? Okay, fine. Whatever. I'll keep going. Sure.
So we get into here and basically you get there, you find some things. If you look at the map, it looks like a face. For some reason, and we can find some clues. Yes, it's a face looking to the right. They talk about that.
It's like a xenomorph, though. It's got like just this
the back.
It's an island. It's an island face, man.
It's like if that's the face, then okay, all right, whatever.
I did get confused because we get into an area where there is a note that says, it says like in normal maps, north is up and, you know, east is right or whatever. Like they said something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that made me think like, okay, so I'm gonna have to think inverse on all this stuff. No.
I wrote a compass with a new north on it based on what I thought they were saying.
Nope.
Then it turned out it's just like normal.
They were just trying to like describe this face looking east.
No,
and that's it.
They're describing what do you call it? The puzzle. Like there's like the Lost Woods puzzle is what they're talking about.
I
guess is that what it's supposed to mean?
Yeah, because
it's supposed
like,
to be saying like
if you go north, it's north. But like here, if you go north, it doesn't actually. You just loops you.
It
around,
kicks you so. Out south, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I get that now. That's outsiders talking about the physics of a Lost Woods.
Yeah.
Not anything that we actually need to be concerned about in terms of solving a puzzle.
Yep.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, BC. That actually clears it up for me. I thought it was just some bad translation of something.
No, I mean,
Bill,
the way
dropping
it's,
the ball again.
The way it's presented, it does sound like you're going to have to be like, oh, okay, this direction is going to be this or whatever, but it's just them being like, I don't know how this island works. It's weird.
Yeah. It is not conveyed in a clear way to the player. It's kind of confusing.
We are given, as we snake through here, we're given some clues that tell us to go to the sacred tree on the king's chin and go this way west and this way north. And that gives us a hole that we can dig into. And, you know, I was just saying like, oh, it's the Chris Houlihan room because you fall down there and then there's like a place you can bomb and then there's just rupees and stuff.
It's the anti Chris Houlihan room too. Or is that a different one later with the minus rupees?
I did not find those. I don't know.
I found a
room
right at the beginning.
Okay. Yeah, there's a hidden... Oh, yeah, that's right, because the guy who writes that really confusing note that we were just talking about also says he hasn't solved the puzzle in this room. And if you throw some bombs along one of the walls, you'll blast open a anti-Houlihan room where there's keys everywhere, but there's a very thin pathway you have to stay on, or you'll get some of the minus rupees. When you attack or if you try to use your boomerang or grappling hook to kill something, it will bring rupees back to you. And if you make it through that room, you get a bunch of goodies.
Yeah. As soon as like I was like trying to shoot the Kisk with my bow and arrow at first, and I was just like, all right, I give up. I'm using my boomerang. And then as soon as I threw it, I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
You're running from it.
And I was like trying to like switch. I was like, maybe if I switch off with the boomerang or like I pull out another item, it won't actually come back to me. But no, it makes you like sit and watch as like you get every single like rupee or negative rupee. It's just like, it's like, oh, you got negative 10 rupees. Oh, you got negative 10 rupees. Oh, you got negative 50 rupees. And you can see them, like, underneath links. Like, you could just see them. And I'm like, I'm like, the game's going to crash. Like, I'm going to keep getting negative
that's...
rupees. And the game's just going to crash.
Fortunately, it didn't, though, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
So we go through this stuff. We see a couple clues. There's a clue that says like shoot west of the king's eye or something like that. But it's like you go up there and it's obvious there's a switch that you're gonna want to hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you didn't need to really tell me that necessarily. Like I'm not finding something invisible or anything. But
there's a lot of things they don't need to tell you in this game that someone is standing nearby at all times to tell you.
Yeah, not even you don't even have to like. Talk to them yourself. They'll stop you dead in your tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they did more of the where that one guy said like, "Oh, hey, over here," and you could see the word bubble on the top screen to signify that they had something important to say.
Yeah,
but like it was optional, right?
That
you could just run past
like,
it. But
all
twice,
but one time, yeah, maybe twice, Yeah, no, you're right. That's cool. Yeah. But then sometimes it is like that because it's a heap of dead guy who's got a blue light over him that
sure
you can yes. go talk to him and get a hint. Yeah. The signs will give you a hint. Sometimes it's an NPC who will like grab your sleeve and be like, "Hey, listen." But you know,
yeah,
there's always something somewhere.
We solve all those puzzles, and we find our first ghost, the fourth knight, Brant. Mm. Brant basically is asking, like, "Why are you here? Is there something going on? Something wrong with the Ocean King?" And you're just you just respond with, I think it's like, "Well, .. or something like that. You get like that choice to pick with the dialogue. I think that's this point.
Yeah,
you can also tell him it's a secret.
Yeah, I saw that option. I did not pick it. But
to everyone.
Yeah, he gives you a special necklace that will help you get past the cyclone, is what he says.
Yeah,
so it's a little comet. So we're going to go and do that. Before we do, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get back. We'll go to the next island.
Huzzah.
On the Super Nintendad's Entertainment Podcast, catch us grumbling about the news every Monday on the Morning Dadcast, chatting with industry professionals, and most importantly, teaching our kids just how incredible or horrible 80s and 90s video game and pop culture truly was.
All right, what else you got?
A Sega Slingshot.
Don't have a cow, man.
The blast processing was really fast. Why can Knuckles fly even?
Tide Prawn Dough.
What does that even mean?
Samurai Pizza Cats. Gabe, we almost named you Guido Anchovy.
Doing a Belvedere
requires a set of low hangers.
I'm gonna die!
Right here on Greenlit.
This is Snake.
Hey, Snake, it's Sam.
Who are you?
Sam, from the brand new PlayStation podcast, Polygon Symphonies.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's a podcast that's exploring the PlayStation library.
Impossible.
Well, not really. Each week, we take a game, play it, and then we rank it in our grand list of games.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's available on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't mean to sound sarcastic.
That's okay. Just check out Polygon Symphonies, the PlayStation podcast from the Greenlit Network.
So, we're at our next island, the Isle of Ruins. This is the second half of this giant dungeon, as I am calling it. This one, I like this. I thought this was interesting because we get there and it is massive. This map is massive and it is the size of a dungeon. Like, that's why when I got into there, I was like, is this going to be the dungeon? Is that what this is? Like, it just felt that way to me, you know? Mm-hmm. What we have to deal with are a poop ton of likes.
Yeah, what the hell?
It is the worst.
They're everywhere.
I had my hookshot out the whole time, and I'm just like grabbing any rupees I see just to be like, is that going to trigger it? Is mm-hmm. that going to trigger it? Okay. Because you can use that to hurt them too. It takes like 4 hits, but I only want one weapon equipped. I only get one item equipped. So make it the best one so far, right?
I was in the that ocean horn state of mind where I'm just throwing bombs at everything.
I mean, that's cool too. Bombs are great. we have to deal with a lot of rolling rocks in here and throughout this, which was infuriating because it didn't have a pattern, you know? And like each of the lanes of rocks that would bounce off the corners would go in like 2 different directions whenever they hit a corner, but there wasn't a pattern to it. It just seemed to like do it however.
It's really
so you
weird.
Couldn't like find your pockets that you would normally find in these kind of games, you know? Mm-hmm.
You also get a lot of the stopping and fighting Zora. Are they the Zora warriors? The big moblin guys, but they're not moblins or whatever. They have a sword
fish
and shield.
Dudes, yeah. I guess
they're fish nuts.
But big, like big old green. Yeah. They pop up a lot here. It's super fun. Paced wonderfully.
Zora
well.
Were bad guys in the first one. In the first Zelda, right?
Yes, that's
that
true.
Was,
yes.
They were one of the red enemies.
So. Yep.
I guess these are Zora then.
I don't know. Who knows? I don't want to throw Zoras under the bus on this. Like, you know, in this world, Zoras are long extinct.
At least it seems.
If we're following Wind Waker logic, if you want to say that this happened after Wind Waker, Zoras are extinct.
I think you could take the text of the Wind Waker and interpret it in a different way, whereas they evolved alongside each other. But we just don't see them anymore.
Anyway. We eventually find...
The walkthrough here calls them Zora Warrior, so that's why I said it.
Oh.
That's all.
Oh, well. You should have said that earlier, and I would have been running my mouth. But we go through all this. We eventually find another ghost. We explain some of the stuff to him. He says, okay, I'll help you. I'll do that by extending a bridge. You go through all this stuff. You snake all around. You do hit a switch that then lowers the water. And then when you come out, it takes one area that nothing was really going on. You had to like hop from place to place and deal with like-likes in the corners, but it lowers the water around it. And those places you're walking on now become walls for there that you then have to go through, find the stones, read like I'm the third one. I'm the fourth one. I'm the second one. And then get it in order to figure out the shape. Now I was waiting for, I did do it all the way around twice because I was like, okay, I know what the pattern is. Let me go ahead and hit those in order to unlock whatever the thing is that I need. That's not how it worked. They just wanted you to know the shape and take the shape with you. We haven't done this as much as you would think. You know, like it's not like it's been a repetitive thing where it would happen and I would assume, oh, they're just giving me a new shape to draw somewhere else.
Yeah. This is one of the first areas we go through, the maze like sections of the wall with the water everywhere. So I marked all of the stones with an X going through the first time because I'm like, we're gonna need to look at these later. Also, did you know you can use the grappling hook on those stones? You can pull yourself to them.
Yes. And if you do it when there's water around it, you'll drown yourself.
Yes. So you can't do that here. But I thought they told you that you needed to come back to this spot. And this is much later too, after we have circumvented the whole island. Or circumnavigated. I don't know. We don't go outside the around. Stupid, wrong use of a word. We get through most of the island, basically, before we have to go back to do this. This island has a lot, like, all the parts are segmented where you can get to the next spot, but if you drop off the ledge to go back to an area you were in before, you have to then take the right path all the way around to get back out again. Except for when they want you to backtrack, which then they open up really linear Wind Waker style shortcuts to dump you back to the spot where you easily need to get to.
I've got something to complain about. Okay, in Wind Waker, Link knew how to swim. How did he forget how to swim? Because in this
good point.
He cannot swim at all.
You touch water,
you immediately drown.
Better question is, how do you live on a boat and not be able to swim?
How do you live in a water world and not know how to swim?
It's like One Piece rules. Like, he gained the power of the Triforce, but he can't swim anymore.
Can't touch water.
He's nothing but muscle at this point. I mean, because he's just been being a hero for two straight games, so that he just sinks. He just sinks in the water.
He doesn't have... His hands are like balls.
Yeah,
you know, they're like, because of the low polygons, you can't really get water underneath that.
They were able to render hands in Wind Waker. On the 3DS doesn't have that capability.
No.
Or DS. 3DS probably does.
Anyway, I needed to get that off my chest because that's
it really
hit me in this last little section.
That's true.
Where I kept falling in water and I'm like, wait a second. Why? Link could swim in the last game. He couldn't swim forever, but he could swim like all humans. We can't swim forever. Wow. But yeah, he can't now. So this game cannot be a sequel to Wind Waker.
No, it's not. It's not.
It can't
it's
be.
It's not.
Like, this has to be some other retelling of
what I've been saying for 15 years. This is not a sequel. It's just not.
Anyway, we go through here. We put our shape in. This door did give us dots to connect this time, which was interesting.
Yeah, that was cool.
But we do that, and then we get to go into Muto's temple. And again, and
we've talked to two other or three. No, three other. We've talked to all four of them by going around this island. They each unlock a bridge or a door.
Is Muto the fourth? I thought
or something.
I thought
this is the fourth one teaches us about that. Yeah. And then the door leads to a long corridor where we fight more Zora warriors that leads to the entrance to the temple.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. But anyway, we get into this one. Another, I don't know. Is there anything noteworthy before we get the item in this dungeon that really stuck out to you? This just felt like, especially after the last dungeon, just did not feel creative at all.
Go ahead.
I would say I did like that there was, you know, some continuity between, you know, speaking of this whole area as one big dungeon technically. I enjoyed that there was continuity between, you know, the Island of the Dead, the Ruins Island, and like the actual dungeon and some of the themes, like, you know, playing with the water level and all that sort of stuff. There's continuity of enemies where like the Stalfos in here just...
We didn't talk about that. Stalfos now. This is the new enemy as well.
Yeah. So the Stalfos here are just like advanced versions of the Stalfos outside. I just thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've come across piles of skeletons before. But now that we're on the Island of the Dead, those skeletons come back to life and we have to fight them. And I like I like them, except for the fact that there is like a 50-50 chance that when you remove their head with your hookshot thing, that it will damage you because it'll get too close to you and you'll take a bit of health off. It was very annoying.
Yeah. It's like they let you use basically every trick that Zelda's used on to defeat Stalfos in the past. Like, all of them are viable that now, like, you can throw bombs at them, you can hit them twice with your sword, now you can use a grappling hook. I'm sure you could use the hook shot before in A Link to the Past to pull their head to you or something, but yeah, everything's viable. Every strategy they've ever had is viable against them.
I just use the boomerang because like they take so long to stand up that you have time to react and hit them with the boomerang, and then you just have to slash their heads. So
we all do it differently, guys.
Yeah, it seems that we do.
Shout out the wild. I would like to say that I do like this. I like this item. Before we get the item. Before we get the item, though, there are choices to be made, which is kind of nice. And we have to like use the switch, bomb a switch to bring up a bridge that's not there for very long, and so we have to like use the timed wick of the bomb to give us a head start. But
and then I use boomerangs and bomb chews.
Oh, okay, yeah, that works too. Well, the bomb chew I couldn't use on the second or one of them because I couldn't get it across the.
No, you can't get it across the moving platforms.
The moving blocks, yeah. But and then the other path. One of the paths has two different ways you can take. One of them has a fake floor, but you know you can.
No, there's a bunch of fake floors all over that one. Maybe you just missed them. There's like four on that floor alone, and I thought you see a sign just beforehand where it was just like, "Be careful, there are traps in here." And then I kept falling in these holes over and over again. I was like, "Yes, there are traps in here."
Yeah, it's and then the first sign is like, "Oh, I forget how they say it, but they basically say the shortcut is faster. So I found the bombable wall, and then that's just what I did. But I also assumed that on the other side, there was a shortcut. So I was like, what is the shortcut that I'm not finding on this other side?
Where's the long cut?
Yeah.
Or you thought you were on the long cut?
Yeah.
So as Brian was saying, the item that we get here is the hammer. Also, not the hammer of Muto, not like magical hammer. It's a hammer. But it is a magical hammer. It's actually a super impressive weapon.
It is so fun.
It's also further proof that we're not playing as Link in this game. We're playing as Chella because she's the one running around with the hammer.
Well, I'm playing as whatever the red fairy is. So,
well, me too. But yeah. But yes.
So with this hammer,
I think when the hammer's out though, it actually brings the yellow spirit up when you move it around. I think it brings Chella's sprite spirit up.
Either way. So when you use the hammer, you can almost tap. It has to be, you have to have Link's line of sight. But as long as he can see it on the screen, you can just bring a hammer down on an enemy. And it just like is immediate. And it is so funny fighting the Staphos now, where like you just see them and you just tap on them and they explode. It's cool.
It's why the advanced ones are here, because they rush you. Which is about the only thing they can do when you have a magical, omnipresent hammer. It's just like that's everywhere at once.
So we have interacted with two different kinds of things. We've come across them. Maybe you didn't notice one of them before we got into this dungeon, but there are like ancient switches that are like, let's say rusted. Let's call them rusted switches.
We saw one of them in the temple of the ocean.
Yes. You could have like easily ran past it. It's like in a corner somewhere.
Or you could have marked it on your map for next time.
I'll be fine.
he says now.
But we also came across these things that like beforehand, I don't know how I would have described these plates on the floor.
Yeah. Because
they're like these rectangular plates with footprints on one side and then a circle on the other. Now that we have the hammer, it clicked immediately. But beforehand, I was like, I don't know what this thing is. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
The first time you see one, it's half submerged. So you only see the circular plate. And in my head, I was like, spinner? Are we getting a spinner? Is a spinner going to be in this game?
Oh, you could draw the path of it? Oh, man.
So I saw him in the Temple of the Ocean King first. There's a path that you could have gone down that was basically a dead end at that time that we were there.
Right.
But you can. That's when I first saw them and was just like, I have no idea what I'm going to get to interact with this thing in the ground right now.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what the final item was. I was getting like Flintstone vibes from this because it was like carved out of stone and had bare footprints on it. And I'm just like, is this their car?
Also, I'm really glad to know this is the final item because my item screen filled up and I thought there was going to be a point where you would have to scroll to the next page. And it was just anxiety. Like,
no.
Changing items is already difficult enough.
One of the puzzles that we're introduced to in here using the hammer are, I just call the lights out puzzles.
Yeah.
Because there was a game in the 90s called Lights Out that you just press the button and then the squares around it would change colors. And your goal was to either get like everything all lit up or everything all shut off.
The Othello puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Where we are given a pattern on the ground that is either red or blue, and we got to turn everything blue. And so whenever you hit whatever space that you hit, the surrounding spaces will flip to the other color and they'll invert it. And you have to figure that stuff out. Fortunately, you can hit outside of the play field too. So you can just easily hit a corner somewhere and just change something that way.
You can also stand on a square that you don't want to flip.
Oh,
and that makes it like, these once you do that, it's like, all right, doop doop da do. Okay, this is done. Let's go. Like every single puzzle after the first one, when I was like, what do they want from me? Every single one of these afterward was just like, these are nothing.
We do have some more raising and lowering water puzzles.
Yeah.
Which again, we get a theme. We were showed this earlier on about raising and lowering the water, and we continue that theme throughout it. Cool. I like it. I'm not going to argue about like, oh, is it actually fun to do? I'm just saying, in a design perspective, they told us about it before, and we have a new puzzle involved with it that's a little more complicated. That's how you do it. Don't just hold our hands and say, do this, do this, do this, but do something else that's just like, well, we've talked about this before, so you should be able to figure it out.
And I mean, it also fits with the whole ruined kingdom aspect, because it's like, oh, it was this great civilization. Now it's just like flooded out ruins and temples. Okay, mm-hmm. Makes sense that we're going to have to manipulate the water level. So
this would have been really great if it were just one open room and you had to figure out at which point you needed the water raised or lowered to get to certain sections of the room, instead of what it is just keep moving forward. There really isn't a reason for you to go back. You can get yourself, you know, stuck in old areas or whatever. It's the same kind of thing with the outside area where you can go backward, but then you'll have to do the intended path again to get back to the end of the section and move on to the next part of the room. Yeah.
I want to say you said something there that made me think, if we got a Zelda game that took the aspect of drawing on the map and doing all that and blew it out where we had a dungeon was one giant map that we could see overhead, that we had to figure out as we were going. We had a touchscreen capability, something you could do on the Switch, you know, with a higher res screen that you can see more things on there. That could be interesting, because they did that. There was a Castlevania game that did that on 360, where you were given a giant map that you could like zoom in and out of at any time.
We need to play that game, because I think it's on PlayStation. And I've always wanted to play that game with other people, and I've never gotten to.
Who knows? We'll look into it, maybe.
All right.
But just a thought I'd throw out, you know, if they did it, there's a chance I still wouldn't like it, but it's something different.
I thought that's what the promise of Breath of the Wild was on the Wii U, was the you know, Wii U, greatest system of all time, had the gamepad that you could interact with the map, and like the back and forth there was supposed to be a main feature of it before, hey, this thing isn't selling because we suck, and we got to move this to the Switch, and we sort of have to start taking out some of these things we've talked about in public about this game. But yeah, there was going to be, I wanted to, like I said, I like drawing on the map. I just don't think they use it well here, and I don't
Absolutely
think
not.
It's a bad mechanic or at all. I think it's actually pretty great.
Anyway, so we go through the dungeon. We come across some fun areas with the hammer that they kind of just, they want us to just go wild with it, where we go pet there's a quarter near the end after we get the key that there are just a bunch of Staphos lining the sides that you're just supposed to like take your hammer and just like smash, 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 smash. And it's fun. That's
it's
fun.
It's really cathartic.
This is the most we've had to do with the key. Again, like I said it, episode 2, that I got the feeling we were going to do more and more. Fortunately, they did not stretch it out as long as I was dreading that they would.
Yes.
But this still is like the longest we've had to take the key, because you have to carry the key onto a platform that then will move, but then I needed to clear out all the Staphos beforehand, because when I put it down, the key started blinking. It did like the, you know, oh, it's about to disappear or something on me. Mm-hmm. BC, did that not happen to you?
No, you can leave it.
Yeah, you can leave it. It might be... So what did happen the first time is I got knocked off the platform, and then the platform started blinking and disappeared.
Uh-huh.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm mixing up with. Yeah, I think I'm confusing with that.
I got knocked off the platform, which did not make it disappear. And this is when I went back into this room for something, touched the platform, got killed, and was like, all right, I don't actually need to be in this room. So I went back to what I was doing, and that stopped the platform on the opposite side of when you come back into this room with the key, which meant I had to actually backtrack for some crap back through half of this entire floor to get to the door that was on the other side of this moving block thing, just to unstuck it from the wall and grab the key again. Great.
It is good to know that if you if the key falls into the abyss, it will float back to you. So
okay,
good to know.
I'm not that mean. I was expecting them to be that mean.
So we get to the boss, Eox, ancient stone soldier. I thought I was doing something wrong for a while on this.
Yeah.
Because I thought I knew exactly what to do, but the game would not register it. And I looked it up and it was just like, no, do what you originally thought, but just do it this time. And I'm like, I got so upset.
But just be good this time.
Brian, can you describe Eox for us?
Yeah, he is a giant letdown. I liked the last boss fight a lot, and I was like, this one's okay. So he's a giant wooden guy, and there's four spots around him that are those little barefoot spots, and BC, you got upset when I said that. You want to describe him?
Yeah, I had so much fun with this boss.
Okay.
So first of all, he looks like a Reaver bot from Mega Man Legends.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's this gigantic robot with all these plungers isn't the word. He has these like little pedestals.
Buttons,
like hinges. Targets all around him. So the idea is you go to one of the springs, you fly up into the air, and as you're in the air, you have to hammer the different pedestals on his body parts to break them apart. So once you do that, like once you go through and break off all of his armor, then he has four or five more spots that show up. And so the idea is you have to spring into the air and then hit all of those in succession to like break him apart. Once he crumbles to the ground, then he's just like spinning around as a head shooting arrows at you. And then the final thing is you have to jump on top of him with the springs and then slash the crystal at the top of his head to kill him.
So
I just wailed on it with a hammer. But yeah.
Step number one was not working for me. I would launch myself up in the air and I kept like tapping on the stuff and I didn't get a reaction.
You're tapping on the wrong ones?
I would see a hammer and it just, but nothing reacted to it. And I tried that like two different times and it wasn't doing it. And so I kept running around being like, all right, do I need to hit the spring when he brings his fist down to like make him punch himself or something like that in order to stun him?
That's what I was working with at the beginning. That was my first theory, was I have to like attract his attack, his big pounding fist, and hit it back at him. But no, you have to jump in the air. And you can't, some of the spots that you have to hammer, you have to be like on the right side of him because he is a big 3D model and he will turn and spin towards you. It, very much like a giant Reaver bot fight. Yeah, that's really true. So yeah, if you're not at the right side or if he's not turned away from you at the right way, some of them you can't hit. The ones on like his chest and like his front legs were the first ones you could take out while facing him directly, but you had to get him to move around for a little bit, which was awkward, but it was okay.
Yeah. I would say the one thing I had difficulty with was the spot directly on the back of his head.
Yeah.
Because
it's at the very top. You don't get launched up high enough for it to be front and center, right? So like I had the same problem where I launched myself up and the button only was like clearing the very top of my screen. And it's like, I could only hit it like one time, maybe.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah.
The other thing is that if you walk around behind him, he eventually loses track of you and he stops for a second, which gives you more time to hit his back. But in doing so, he's looking around for you. So the button on the back of his head goes in and out of view because he's going side to side.
Yeah, while I was fighting, I kept running under his legs, which reminded me of when we're in the, it's not a sub gate, but it's It's I think it's Teasel's last fight with us in Legends 1, where we go into that building where, like, BC, you thought that, like, I just need to save and get out of here or whatever. And you, like, walk in the wrong door and, like, start a cutscene for a giant battle that ruins a whole town, like, ruins the whole underground town. Mm-hmm. How I beat that was by running under his legs back and forth so that I wasn't just getting chased around the entire city. So, yeah, I was thinking about that as I ran under this guy's legs. Yeah.
So we go through all that. We beat him.
It was the final thing on top, jumping on top of his head was a little annoying. To get it right the first few times, I just kept missing. I'm like, am I doing something wrong? And no, you just had to wait for him to get kind of close, and hopefully he's in the range of where you'll land.
The second time I launched myself up there, I kept bouncing a little bit. I hit a corner, and Link just sort of like bounced a bit before he was like, yeah, I'm landed on top of it now. So it was strange.
Is it like in the 64 ones when you like barely step off of an edge and it's like,
and then kind of, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So we beat Eox, we get our heart container, we get our final medal, and the ghost of Muto shows up and basically just says, like, thank you for doing this and all that. Or not really thanking you, just being like, you have proven yourself worthy enough. Here is the medal that you are looking for.
You're the man now, dog.
He says that he thanks us for making everything quiet again. It's like, oh, thanks. All those evil things were just like really harsh in my vibe. And yeah, it's kind of quiet now. So that's cool. I can go back to my Sudoku.
So, with that, we're wrapping up this episode. In the next episode, we're going to beat this game and we're going to be done with it.
All right.
Until we start Spirit Tracks.
have fun with the final boss, everyone.
Yeah, go back to the Temple of the Ocean King. Go down deeper, I assume. And there you go. Best of luck to you.
When in doubt, go deeper.
Oh. Do all that, and we will meet back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild.